Your wonderful hearts, and if you would please take your Bibles and go to the book of Genesis, please. Book of Genesis. You know, I've had handed out to you a little old seed, and can you imagine the results that happen when you take this withered old little old seed, bury it in the ground? And lo and behold, in so many days, you get this fruit. There's a seed packet that says, delicious and nutritious fruit will appear within 92 days of planting. And this is a little speck of seed. This is like a tomato seed, and you can barely see it. And that's why I had handed out corn seed, because at least you can see that. But imagine a little withery speck of seed put in the ground, and 92 days later, there's this beautiful bush with fruit abounding. Amazing. Within that little seed are all the little information that is required, needed, that put into motion all that we see as a plant and fruit. Just phenomenal when you think about that, isn't it? From a little old seed, little ring, this thing, you put it in there, you'll get a couple cobs of corn, right? And I don't know how many kernels are on a cob, but hundreds, I'm sure. And it really multiplies itself back. But to think how God set up life, how He organized it, how He was able for us, human beings, that a little seed and an egg that you can barely see, you probably need a microscope to see it, has all the characteristics, all the things that are required to produce 6 foot five Bob Linfelt. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They talk about the miracle of life, don't they? Because of this event. And yet, we take it almost for granted, really, don't we? You know, there's 6 billion people on earth, so a lot of folks are believing it works, huh? So it is amazing what God has done and how He's organized life to function and reproduce like this. In Genesis chapter 1, let's take a look at that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Life and reproduction by seed all started at the beginning. Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind. Each seed has its own characteristics, its own uniqueness. When you plant a corn seed, you don't get pumpkins. It's after its kind. Each seed is like this. This is how God did it. This is God sharing with us how he did it. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was what? It was good. God knows how to do a good job, doesn't he? Well, keep your finger here if you would. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll see a little bit more about seed and its characteristic here and how God did all of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 36... Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive except it die. In other words, you know, you plant your seed, you bury it, it's like it's dead, you bury it, and then life sprouts up from that. I mean, everybody understands that, right? And that's why I guess he says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. That grain, you don't put a stalk of wheat in the ground, you take the little seed. You don't take the body, you take that little seed that produces the new plant. Not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And those words, every seed, perhaps could be better translated, each of the seeds, his own body. Each body, each seed has its own unique body that God has so designed and characterized its uniqueness, what it is. Okay? Man, too, came by way of seed. But God added another little aspect for man in the beginning, didn't he? He added spirit. God is spirit, it says in John 4:24. And so God put spirit in man so that he could have fellowship with him. So man was body, soul, and spirit. And my, oh my, with this spirit, Adam had the privilege of communicating with God. You know, they were able to name the animals. They were able to talk, fellowship, just have the greatest old time you could have because man had spirit. And yet, something very catastrophic happened, didn't it? Man lost spirit. Man lost spirit. Man did the one thing that God told him not to do, and as man's nature is, he's got to try it out. He's got a doer. So man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, upon which, you know, those consequences were quite devastating. It says in Genesis 2:17, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So now, did Adam and Eve die that particular day physically? No, they lived on for hundreds of years, hundreds of years. So what died? That spirit. Man lost that spirit. And man, oh man, this is what God wanted man to have, spirit, so that they could fellowship one with another. Body, soul, and spirit. And yet, man does that one thing, loses the spirit, and that spirit dies. Lost that connection. Lost that connection. Now, did you think God gave up on man having fellowship with him? No. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to do what was needed and required so that man could get back that wonderful seed relationship of spirit. And I kind of gave it away here a little bit, because what God did was give it this time as seed rather than just on a condition as Adam had it. Genesis 3:15, let's take a look at that particular promise. And look how it involves seeds. This is very important. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here was the prophecy, if you will, of the coming Christ. And what would happen? The adversary would bruise his heel. And yet, what would happen to the adversary? Yeah, he'd get his head crushed. That's what was going to happen. But God was talking what? Seed here. Notice he wasn't talking about other things. He was talking about seed. And that her seed. Now, does a woman carry seed? No, the man carries seed. So this is important in understanding how the Lord Jesus Christ came. We talk about the promised seed. From this point on, working its way through the Old Testament until Mary, until a great event occurred, which we kind of celebrate during this holiday season, right? Well, what happened was, is recorded in Luke So if you want to go to Luke 1:31, please. Luke 1:31. The realization of this coming seed was manifested when Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and it shall and shall call his name Jesus." All right? Shalt conceive in thy womb. What do you need in the womb to conceive? You need seed. Need seed. God prophesied that there would be seed of the woman. God put his seed, put seed in her so that there was conception. And of course, thankfully, the way the body so designed and God designed birth of man, that the man with the seed determines if it's going to be male or female. That determines it. And of course, also the blood within the woman as she has a pregnancy, she's conceiving, that baby develops, the blood of the woman does not intermingle with that fetus, that baby. You know, there's the nutriments and everything pass through, but the blood does not go through the baby, which is very important, isn't it? Because he had to have that perfect blood. So God put all the great characteristics that the Lord Jesus Christ would have. I guess what color eyes and hair, everything else, how tall he would be, everything was put in that seed, because seed after its own kind, right? The characteristics, the DNA, everything. And here it was. The Lord Jesus Christ was born. Now I know we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, during this time of the year. But really, when you work God's Word, you see that probably His birth took place in September, early September. This is probably the time the conception took place, right? 9 months? So maybe that's what we should be celebrating, the conception, not the birth. But thankfully, most important, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. And he went on to do what God asked him to do, the perfect will, paid the price for all mankind. He did all that God called him to do, all that was prophesied of him to do, and paid that wonderful price for all mankind. He died. God raised him from the dead, right? God raised him from the dead. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? The gift of Holy Spirit was first made available. First made available. And people could get born again. Born again. Now, how'd you get here the first time? Seed, father, mother, right? Seed, that's what it took. And now you've got those characteristics, like it or not. Whatever your color is, your height, your stature, characteristics, color of eye, everything was determined by those seeds. You had nothing to do with it. Not at all. Because it's seed. It's seed. And that's it. It's set. It's established. Well, guess what, folks? When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be made whole. The word talks about being born again. And this is not being born again in the sense that, now I'm a member of some church or that I am associated with God, some religious connection. No, no. This is a new birth, born again by seed. And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and take a look at this. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. Man, oh man, how God set this up that man could now have a wonderful relationship with Him via the new birth, born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Corruptible seed, the first birth via the corruptible seed, right? That seed's going to die. That seed's going to die. But of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth how long? Forever. You know, it doesn't say by, but of incorruptible seed, does it? You'd think, you know, it'd flow a little easier there. God purposely kept that out to emphasize the incorruptibility of that seed. So it's not corruptible. It's eternal life. That's what we're talking about, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Man, oh man, that's a great birth, isn't it? Eternal life. Now, I don't want you to get too excited here, standing on your seat, yelling, screaming, being so blessed and thankful that you have eternal life here, just because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price. All we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. You know, how excited was your parents when you were born? Maybe some of us don't know. But I remember the birth of our first son. Man, oh man, we were just so blessed and everything. It was pretty neat. Here, Timmy comes out and he's crying and stuff, and he grabs my finger. And I just lost it. Man, here was my son with my seed. And yet, that seed's corruptible, isn't it? And we had James when we were blessed, and Susie, sweet Susie, finally got our girl. Oh man, just are we so blessed and thankful for our children? How do you think God feels when you get born again of His seed? Wow. I mean, this thing is so big. I think we just don't see it as big as it really, really is. Man, oh man, the reality, the new birth with seed. Unbelievable. And all the inheritance that we have, the spiritual inheritance, is wrapped up into that seed. And I tell you what, being born again is not just some religious feeling. It's permanent. It's forever. It's forever. Let's go to 1 John 3:9. Incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's the seed we have now, the new birth seed. There's a verse in 1 John 3:9 that's kind of difficult for people. But if you see it in light of the birth of incorruptible seed, I think, you know, we can understand it a little better. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God. And what, if you're born of God, what is that seed? Incorruptible seed from God, right? His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, can somebody who's born again sin? Man, I do it all the time. I'm not proud of it. But the new birth spirit, that seed, that cannot, spirit cannot commit sin. It's perfect. Man, we just got some kind of inheritance here that's pretty outstanding, isn't it? Pretty neat. Let's go. I want you to see a little bit more about this seed. Galatians 3:16. We'll probably come back to 1 John, so if you want to keep a finger there. But Galatians 3:16. We're going to see how fantastic this seed is. Galatians 3:16. And again, God's talking about seeds here. This is how He's communicating these realities. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is what? Christ. Thy seed, which is Christ. We have the seed of Christ within us. We have Christ in us, it says in Colossians 1:27, right? Man, oh man, oh man. Pretty neat. Fantastic. We have the seed, which is Christ, in us. Wow. I want to take a look at verse 29 here in Galatians. Yes. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are now heirs according to the promise. This seed carries some great things for us. And it says that we're heirs according to the promise. And then it goes on in chapter 4 talking about being an heir and a child. And we get down to verse 6, 4, 6. It says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, great Holy One, great Creator, great being of the vast universe, wherever you are. Oh, yes. Is that what we cry? What do we cry? Daddy, Daddy, oh my golly. How loving, how intimate is that calling? Wow, we get to call the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Daddy. Man, oh man, when my kids started calling me Daddy, it was just a heart melter. Oh my goodness. What do you think God feels when we praise Him, when we recognize Him, we thank Him? When we speak in tongues, we give praise unto God. We give thanks well. We talk to God. Man, oh man, it just melts his heart. This is what God set up. Man didn't set this up. God set this up so that we could call Him Daddy, Daddy. Wow. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You're an heir. You got all the inheritance that comes with that seed that's wrapped up into that seed. Eternal life, fellowship with God forever. Man, oh man. And yet, did you hear God in the manifestations? Come to me. I heard that. Come to me. God wants us to believe His promises. He wants us to be so blessed. He wants us to come to Him. And how do we come to Him? Daddy, Daddy, we're His son, born of His Spirit. It's incorruptible seed. It's not some religious connection. It's a life-giving connection, eternal life connection. Man, oh man. Let's go back to 1 John, please. 1 John. God's love for us is so wonderful, just so pure. And He's provided a way for us to be born again with Christ's seed, which cannot sin. It is not like our first seed that physically got us born. Now we're born again with incorruptible seed, which provides us with an eternal relationship with God Almighty, our loving Heavenly Father. So in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You and I have overcome the world. We're not of this world. The world has no say in us because we are not of this world. We're seated in the heavenlies. We've got Christ in us. We have eternal life. Man, oh man. Overcometh the world, even our believing, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We believe that, don't we? We still believe that. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's why we continue to minister one to another with that powerful name, the authority that we have, in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, oh man. Pretty neat, isn't it? Remember that this week. Remember who you are, your identity. Man, oh man. I've purposely, this past week, I just got my mind to say, okay, every time I start thinking negative stuff and, you know, out there things, I'm just going to speak in tongues. And then with that speaking in tongues, I remember who I am, right? Because I've got Spirit in me. I've got Christ in me. And I said, man, this is the greatest day of my life because I've got Christ in me today. And if I go along and I get distracted and messed up here a little bit, speak in tongues a little bit more. Wait a minute, Christ in me, eternal life forever. These are the things that count. The things that count are what God has set and wrought through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could have a relationship with God as a son with the Father. Daddy, Daddy, man. Let's talk to our daddy a lot this week, okay? Talk to him. Praise him. Go to him in the name of Jesus Christ and see the promises of God come to pass in our life. Well, Father, we're just very, very thankful that we can be born again of incorruptible seed, that we can have the reality of the new birth greater in our minds and our conscious thinking than that of our first birth, Father. First one's going to go, but this new birth is going to last forever. And Father, thank you that we can have this. And all that you've done and accomplished through your Son, I'm thankful that we can know these things and have great assurance in our minds, our hearts, so that we can have such a wonderful fellowship with you moment by moment, day by day, until your Son comes back to gather us together. So thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.